Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around St. Albans and from further afield. Coming up later, why this could be the right time for you to get solar panels for your roof. But first, Network Rail, the public body that looks after our rail infrastructure, has notified residents of Lancaster Road and Gurney Court Road on the north of St Albans that it plans to cut down vegetation by the railway tracks at the bottom of their gardens in order to erect a security fence. Now, whilst residents agree that cutting back the vegetation to prevent the perennial leaves on the line issue is absolutely necessary, this, they say, is different. I spoke to Nadia Bishara to find out more. Nadia, thank you for joining me. So, what is different about the cutting back that Network Rail are proposing this time?
Well, it's on a much greater scale because it involves putting up a fence right along the boundary between the cutting and our rear gardens. So it is going to involve, apparently, cutting down a lot of those mature trees to make way for the fence and to give clearance either side of the fence.
So, is this just the occasional tree along a thin strip of land, or are we talking sort of a wide forest? What's the sort of extent of this?
Well, the problem is we absolutely don't know, which is why this meeting on Monday with Network Rail is just so important, because that's actually one of the first questions we're going to ask. We need it clarified, because at the moment it could look like a complete wasteland, or for all we know, they might indeed be sensitive and go around the trees.
Okay, so as you say, for a while, you didn't really hear anything from Network Rail, and they've not so far been clear as to exactly what they're proposing.
No, absolutely not. It's been very much, this is not a vegetation management, this is putting up a fence. But of course, we know very well that putting up the fence is going to involve cutting down vegetation.
Right. Mm. And when you say vegetation, are we talking mature forest? Are there big trees in
here? Yes, yeah, we are. And actually, we've already seen it. I'm on the Lancaster Road side, but on the Gurney Court side, we have already seen they've got 2 metres width, basically clearance for the fence, which I presume will go right next to the boundaries, the current boundaries between the gardens and the Network Rail land. And it's just been raised to the ground, and that does include mature trees. So we are very, very worried on the Lancaster Road side.
Okay, and presumably this is home to all sorts of wildlife?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've seen numerous species of mammals there over the years, including, of course, foxes and hedgehogs, and then I can't tell you the amount of birds we see in the garden, a lot of different varieties. And also the Wildlife Trust, Woodland Trust, Bat Group, all of them are telling me that it absolutely must be home to bats as well.
Okay, so quite a rich wildlife corridor then.
Yes, very much.
Now, as you were saying, you've got have now managed to set up a meeting with Network Rail. What do you hope to get out of this meeting?
Well, I think, first of all, it would be really nice if we could somehow build a relationship with them so that we can work with them while they're building this fence to try and preserve as much of the wildlife as possible and obviously the trees that are supporting this wildlife. We're hopeful. It's a good sign that they've actually decided they're going to meet with us. And so now it's basically clarifying how many trees they actually want to cut down, whether there's any room for negotiation in that, to get assurances about some trees. Maybe it will involve actually having an on-site meeting and being able to mark the ones that could be saved. And doing what we can in a way to work in partnership with Network Rail so that as little as possible is disturbed.
Right, okay. And presumably this issue will arise as this fence proceeds through St Albans and continues through Hertfordshire?
Absolutely. So I think if we could somehow find a middle ground here, I'm really hopeful that we will, then maybe it could act as a blueprint in other parts of the country, that if residents actually come together and work with Network Rail, they can get their fence and their security, and we can preserve our environment.
Brilliant, excellent. Mm. Now, just thinking about, I mean, you're obviously just one person. Support from your neighbours, have they also supported what you're saying?
Oh, yes, absolutely. We have discussed this at length, and Lancaster Road, it's just a very united place. We have over half the houses on our side of the road are involved in this. Everybody is very keen to save the trees, but also I think people do understand that Network Rail needs to maintain its land. Right. I don't think there's anybody who would deny that. We're all commuters as well.
Yeah. Okay. So you're all sensible people united in this cause,
yes,
and hoping to help form a sensible partnership.
Exactly.
With Network Rail. Mm. Nadia, thank you for joining me, and we look forward to hearing how your meeting goes.
Thank you very much, Amanda.
That was Nadia Bishara, polishing up her negotiating skills and pulling together with her neighbours to save trees. Now, another group that are pulling together to protect a natural beauty spot are the Save Simon's Hyde group. Remember, they've appeared on Environment Matters on a number of occasions before. They're working to oppose the Welwyn and Hatfield Borough Council's proposals to allow the building of 1,100 houses as part of an entire new village right next to Simon's Hyde Wood. Now, to raise money for their legal fees fighting fund, they are holding the second Simon's Hyde Walk. This is a 4-mile guided walk around some of the beauty spots that will be destroyed, and will start at 2 o'clock this Sunday, the 21st of October, and will be followed by tea and cake at 3:30, just in case that's the bit that you'd rather go along for. Now, adults are asked to bring a donation of £10, but children are welcome to come for free. Now, the walk starts from Hollybush on Hammonds Lane, Sandridge. Do take a look at the Save Simon's Hyde website for more details, or to make a donation online. Now, in spite of last week's heatwave, summer is well and truly over. But what a summer it was. And anyone with solar, photovoltaic panels, that's known as solar PV panels, on their roofs have had a bumper year of not just producing electricity for themselves, but also getting income from this electricity from the government's feed-in tariff. Now, the bad news is that the feed-in tariff is soon to be phased out. So if getting solar panels is something that's been at the back of your mind for a while, well then, now could be a good time to act. I spoke to Simon Robinson from local solar PV company Sol Invictus to find out more. Thank you for joining me. So can you just explain to us, what are the benefits of solar PV?
That's probably quite an easy question. A PV system can lower your electricity bills, provide some income from the feed-in tariff, and importantly, lower your carbon footprint. Plus, there's that fantastic feeling of boiling a kettle and knowing the energy is coming from the sun.
Okay, well, so it's good feeling on tap, then. That sounds like a great idea. So can you get all of your electricity from a solar panel?
Not quite. A conventional PV system can produce enough to power a home during daylight hours, but of course it'll leave you to rely on the grid at night.
Of course, yes, that's right. Nowhere. And you don't store it anywhere. It just goes into the grid for other people to use if you're not using it.
Not without a battery.
Right. Yes, of course, that's what you need for battery. So perhaps you could just give us a rough idea as to how much solar PV for an average house might cost. Is it about a 3-kilowatt system? Does that sound about right?
That's pretty average, and it's hard to be absolutely specific, but on a south-facing roof with a good scaffold access, it should cost something like £4,000 or £5,000.
Okay.
And it should produce a combination of income and savings of around £400 a year.
Right, OK. So you're talking of sort of about 8 years payback, something like that?
A little bit more. 10 is pretty good, 10% rate of return.
Of course. I mean, we can't sort of predict what fuel prices will be. So, it could be more, it could be less, couldn't it? Now, the feed-in tariff, this is the money that the government pays to you for producing electricity from your solar panels. When's this? It's been around for a long time, hasn't it? It's going, though, isn't it?
It is going. It's probably worth explaining for some people kind of exactly what it is. It was introduced in 2010 to incentivise people to adopt PV. It started at a rate of 41 pence per kilowatt hour and has successively dropped to its current rate of just below 4 pence.
Oh, wow. That's a big drop, isn't it?
Huge, yes. What's more, the scheme will finish at the end of March next year.
OK. And has it had the desired effect of boosting interest in solar?
I think there's been a big take-up, both domestically and in commercial terms. Not as big as it could have been, but that's what the scheme was hoping to manage.
Right. So, I suppose the big question is, will solar panels still be cost-effective even without the feed-in tariff?
We think that PV will still be a useful addition to any home or business that uses a reasonable amount of electricity. And I think that's the important change. Instead of people wanting to get rich, they want to make the most of the savings because energy costs are continuing to rise.
Right. OK. So I suppose people now are sort of thinking, oh, well, I suppose if I'm going to think about solar panels for my roof, I need to think about it now. What kind of roof do you have to have? Is it just a south-facing roof?
No, but it definitely can't be north-facing.
Right. Yeah, you look at me because I've got a north-facing roof.
Yeah. Yes. If you compare south-facing to, for instance, east and west, which is a justifiable question, if you put a PV system on a south-facing roof that produced 1,000 kilowatt hours and then reinstalled it facing east or west, it would produce around 800 kilowatt hours. So they're only about 20% less productive until you turn them all the way to the north, and then they really do get less productive.
Right. OK. So actually, the majority of roofs should be worth putting solar panels on then?
Yes, as long as they can see the sun for a bit of the day.
OK. So do you find that getting... I'm just thinking that, you know, there's sometimes other benefits to these things as well, isn't there? Do you find that if people do get solar panels, it kind of makes them more aware of the electricity that they use?
Oh, definitely. Suddenly it feels as if there's a finite amount of electricity available and you have to make the most of it. Our clients seem to become instant experts at running their dishwashers, their washing machines, anything that uses electricity before and after lunchtime, rather than storing it up and putting the last teacup in and running it at night.
OK. So actually, it's kind of, by getting solar panels, it's obviously producing energy in a more environmentally friendly way, but perhaps also making people a little bit more aware of their energy use as well. So it's sort of a double benefit for the environment then.
Yeah, I think we deliver some of the savings, and I think the customers deliver the rest of the savings by being smarter.
Right, OK, they learn to save money as well. OK, then, so I can imagine there's some of us thinking, oh, do you know, I think I should do this then. This sounds like I need to get in there before the feed-in tariff goes. When do I need to act by?
Well, there's likely to be a rush in the build-up to April the 1st next year, and we're already starting to see that. But there's still 6 months, so I think our advice would be to start investigating it now. Try and get several quotes. Try and use an installer who doesn't railroad you into making a decision. But if you're going to do it, you've got one decent chance of doing it and still enjoying a bit of the feed-in tariff, so the time to do it is now.
OK, so probably acting sooner rather than later. Thank you very much indeed for coming and explaining all of that.
Thank you.
And I was talking there to Simon Robinson from local solar PV company Solinvictus. Now, even if, like me, solar PV wouldn't work on your house, you can still do your bit to save energy. This Monday, that's the 22nd of October, Sustainable St Albans are holding the next of their training sessions where you can learn how to use one of their thermal imaging cameras. Now, a thermal imaging camera enables you to see heat leaking from your house or cold air leaking into your house by taking colour-coded pictures highlighting temperature differences. Using the camera can therefore highlight insufficient loft insulation, gaps in the floorboards, drafty windows, and badly fitted loft hatches, all of which allow precious warmth to escape from your house, meaning that you use more fuel to keep your house warm. That's more expensive for you, and of course, not great for the environment either. So you can book your place on the course, as I say, on Monday evening. If you just go to the Sustainable St Albans website, you You can find out all the information you need to do there. And as I say, you do need to book your place. A great opportunity there to make sure that your house is as heat efficient as possible. Now, the Apple Day season comes to an end with the Eilert's Apple Festival this weekend. You can join Eilert's for a special weekend celebrating the best of British apples. This popular annual Apple Festival is a great day out for all the family, and events will include an apple sale, food tasting, local crafts, apple identification if you've got an apple tree that you can't identify, and there's a free activity for children, making an apple bird feeder, and a whole bunch more as well. Now, this is a free indoor event between 10 and 4 both days, and actually the weather forecast does look okay. Now, St Albans Cycle Campaign have got their public meeting and AGM on next Tuesday, the 23rd of October. It starts at 7:30 and it's at Dagnall Street Baptist Church. They have a very short and sweet AGM. Reputed, it's very short, only about 10 minutes. And then they're going to be welcoming Larry Heyman to talk about cycles and trains the next decade on Thameslink. Larry is the local development manager for Thameslink and Great Northern Govia Thameslink Railway, and he's going to be outlining Thameslink's plans for facilities for cyclists using commuter rail lines from Bedford to London, and particularly from St Albans and Harpenden. So if you're a commuter or you're a cyclist or a bit of both, then that sounds like the meeting for you. That's Tuesday the 23rd, 7:30 at Dagnall Street Baptist Church. Now, everybody's welcome to the free meeting next Tuesday. Now, you can listen to any edition of Environment Matters by going to www.radioverulam.com/podcasts, and you can subscribe to a weekly Environment Matters podcast to come from your favourite podcast provider. Do follow me on Twitter at @RV_environment, and find us on Facebook too. You can drop me a line at amanda@radioverulam.com, and feel free to comment about the show or ideas for things that you would like us to cover. Now, I'm going to be back at the same time next week when we're going to be hearing how local clothing providers are making a big difference for the environment. Until then, thank you for listening.